It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the legislative session wraps up, we check in on the work of the powerful Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee. Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwak is a Republican who sits on the 16-member committee and represents Juneau County and parts of four nearby counties. Be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Representative Kurtz, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate that.
Good morning. Yes, Governor Evers earlier this month vetoed most of a package of Republican bills that would change our state's tax brackets and expand tax breaks, including for retirement income. Just want to get your feedback. How do you feel about the governor's veto?
Well, I was a little disappointed, particularly in the retirement tax exclusion. Obviously, we gave four different tax packages to the governor in anticipation that he would probably pick and choose which ones he would sign. And obviously he did sign the to expand the child independent care expenses, and I'm happy he did that. The other ones would increase the marriage credit, also the second bracket, expanding that one. Mm-hmm. But the other one, like I just mentioned at the top of the moment, was the expansion of the retirement income tax exemption. You know, with I was at an event yesterday, and I know it was actually brought up to me yesterday by some retirees that basically asking me why did the governor veto that specifically one? And to be honest with you, I don't know why he vetoed that one. It was disappointing because, particularly as you know, Kate, our state is aging, unfortunately, and I know that tax exclusion would have been very helpful for a lot of retirees on fixed incomes.
Are there other ways outside of tax cuts that would be helpful for retirees and appealing for working families?
Well, and I think that's where you're going to see, and I know later on we're going to talk about the future of the budget surplus, but I think you're going to see continuing attempts to lower the tax burden for Wisconsinites, particularly the thing that I focus on, to be honest with you, in my particularly assembly district is helping those on fixed incomes, the senior citizens. And so, you know, if we can do something with it, the tax exclusion in the future or maybe more targeted to property taxes, I think that's something I think all, particularly those on fixed incomes, would be very open to and very, very happy to have.
When you mention property taxes, I wonder what type of vision do you have there? What type of savings do you see there?
Well, so the tax exclusion that we proposed that the governor vetoed, that could have been a savings up to approximately $1,500 for the average filer. And once again, that was only for, you know, somebody over the age of 65. So, for instance, if you had somebody that was retired from WRS, like I do, I have a retired school teacher near me named Tanya, that with this package that we put together, she could have saved about $880 per year on her income tax exclusion for her WRS retirement. I guess something like that to give some type of relief moving forward, particularly, you know, if it can't be something with tax exclusion, could it be something with some type of help for those over 65 for property taxes? Because that is one thing, to be very fair, that's something that I hear the majority in my district is the help with the property taxes and the increases that we've seen over the years.
Governor Evers had said he vetoed the tax cut proposal because the bills could have resulted in the state repaying, quote, billions of dollars in federal relief funds through the 2021 Federal American Rescue Plan Act. Do you agree that money would have had to be repaid?
Well, so your listeners, obviously, you have the listeners that follow what we do in Madison, but there's also there's a place called the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Legislative Fiscal Bureau is a nonpartisan, and they're very respected, not only in the state, but also the country. We had a memo grafted from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau about 2 weeks ago that basically debunked that theory that It's virtually impossible that the federal government would ask for this money back. In addition, there's been precedents at different courts around the country that basically once the federal government gave this money to states, it's by court precedence, they had not been repaid back. So I understand what the governor is saying, and to the average person not hearing the other side of the story, it would make sense. But the fact of the matter is that's simply not true. And like I said, we have a memo from Fiscal Bureau, once again, a nonpartisan group that says, nah, this is not going to happen.
Well, let's look at the piece that was greenlit, the child care tax credit. The governor last week approved the legislation and spoke in support of the bill during his radio address.
Simply put, the cost of child care in this state is too darn high. Making quality child care more affordable across Wisconsin is not just about doing what's best for our kids. It's also critical for keeping more folks and parents in our state's workforce, too.
Representative Kurtz, are child care costs too high in Wisconsin?
Well, I think child care costs is something, you know, I have two grown children now. They're in their 20s. And so, you know, 20 years ago when my wife and I were both working and paying child care costs, you know, at that time, I thought those were expensive. And yes, I mean, they are. If you want quality people taking care of your kids, it is going to cost money. And so I am glad, you know, of the four packages that we sent, obviously, as a Republican, I'd like him to sign all those. I wish he would have signed at least the retirement one. And I'm glad he did sign the child care, because I have a young couple in my area by the name of Travis and Sarah. They have two young, beautiful kids. They both work. They are paying child care expenses. And this right here, with the expansion of the child care tax credit, that's something that's going to save them probably roughly around $700 to $750 a year on their costs. So that's good. I mean, that's good for Sarah and Travis and a lot of our working families.
Talking with Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwak, a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Colin, with a question, you can share your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. You mentioned the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which estimates the state's budget will reach a more than $3 billion surplus by the start of the next two-year budget cycle. You know, you being a member of the Joint Finance Committee, how should the state use the budget surplus?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to maintain the strong financial position that we are in Wisconsin and our finances. Our state is in very good shape. As you mentioned, that $3 billion is kind of in our checking account, per se. And then the other thing that I hope your listeners understand, excuse me, we have $1.85 billion in a rainy day fund, mm-hmm. and that's our quote-unquote our savings account. And the interesting part about it is that in itself has an interest about $7.5 million every month that we earn interest on that. So financially, the state is in very good shape, and we need to maintain that, obviously, moving forward. The one thing I do want to stress to your listeners, you know, over the last several budgets, we have made a lot of good investments in infrastructure in the state, obviously roads, bridges, a lot of our building projects, which I know we're going to discuss the engineering building here in a moment. But I think in the next budget moving forward, obviously, I think you're going to continue to see that trend to invest in our roads and bridges and buildings. But also, you know, as conservatives, we would like to give some of that money back. So I could see we would probably try something to some other tax package that hopefully the governor would support. And so I think that's what we're going to be moving forward, maintain our sound financial, but also make those key investments like we've been doing over the last several budgets.
Beyond tax cuts, is there any role for anything else when you're looking at a surplus as it stands?
Well, and this is where, you know, let's be honest. I've said this before on other radio programs, is I would like the governor to get a little bit more engaged in the negotiating process. You know, obviously you heard with the soundbite that you put on about his desire to, you know, help more with childcare. You know, I could see, I could support something like that, but in exchange, let's give a little bit more money back to Wisconsinites, i.e. like this retirement income tax, expanding the second bracket, which he has said in the past he has supported. So I hope next cycle we can be a little bit more creative, maybe have some discussion, some compromise, say, okay, Governor, you want more for child care. We want a little bit more for Wisconsinites through via, you know, tax returns, tax rebates. And I think that's where I hope we can find some common ground moving forward.
Common ground and compromises there. Let's move on to building projects. Last week, the governor approving UW system-wide capital project investments. And this measure includes spending money to construct a new engineering building on the UW-Madison campus, which legislative Republicans had rejected in the governor's capital budget. How do you feel about this building coming to fruition?
Oh, no, I'm excited. I'm excited for the UW system as a whole. Obviously, for, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the previous budget, we also put in approximately $75 million into the building program to basically help with the infrastructure of that building in the future. And so this is just another step in investment to the UW system. Engineering is a huge need in our state, not only our state, but the country. And so I'm glad to see that it got across the finish line. And something like I mentioned a moment to you, Kate, the previous budgets, including this last budget, you know, we have made a lot of significant investments, not just roads and bridges, but also a lot of our buildings. The other part about this package is like Platteville, UW-Platteville. You know, there's two buildings that they would like to take down.
Mm-hmm.
This money that we allocated and the governor signed, that's going to actually pay for some buildings to be removed from the campus that, like, and that's system-wide. There's a couple other examples like that. But Platteville said, hey, these buildings are costing us money. We don't need them. Let's go ahead and demolish them. So I'm glad we got this across the finish line.
Let's take a call now. Chris in Milwaukee is here. Chris, hi.
Good morning. I have to say, I do not want to hear any more talk about tax cuts. People are voting to for referendum for schools because the state won't give enough money for schools. The prisons, we have all these prisoners, and the prisons are falling apart. We rival Mississippi at being at the bottom on so many scales. I don't know why we think that the best thing to do with the money in the state is to give it to the people who already have plenty. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Representative Kurtz, what is your response to that?
No, and that's a fair question. And the fact of the matter is, one of the things when we talk about the budget is to live within our means. So the last two budgets, for her example about K-12 education, the last two budgets, we have been at that standard that Governor Tommy Thompson so many decades ago mentioned about a two-thirds funding. That's a state portion. And we're at that. And I think that's something, and I can only speak for Assembly Republicans, you know, we're committed to that two-thirds funding from the state to our K-12 education. Now, remember, that other third has to come from communities. So, and one thing that I'm dealing with in my communities is declining enrollment, and that does hurt particularly a lot of schools. And so the schools, unfortunately, in my area, some of them are going to referendum because some of those do have declining enrollment in those areas. And she brings up a very good point about the prisons. Obviously, we have Green Bay and Waupun, which are max security prisons. The interesting part about those, if any of your listeners have ever watched the movie Shawshank Redemption, that's kind of what those two prisons looked like. They were made back in the 1800s. They're incredibly unsafe for our correctional officers. And to be fair, they're unsafe for our inmates. It's something that I think the state needs to have a really strong conversation about building a brand new prison and then utilizing that new prison by closing Green Bay and Waupun, because those two prisons, to her point, they're falling apart, built in the late 1800s. It's time the state does something about those.
Representative Tony Kurtz, a Republican from Waniwak, as we discuss Wisconsin politics and legislative priorities. Call in with a question. You can add your thoughts, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. At the end of a legislative session, we reflect on policy priorities and proposals to support military veterans. We'll take a look at there. You can join the conversation and add your thoughts. Email ideas at wpr.org. We have Representative Tony Kurtz, a Republican from Waniwak. Representative Kurtz, you are co-authoring a bill that would better support employees of veterans' homes and amend requirements for veterans' cemetery burials and improve the Wisconsin Code of Military Justice regarding sexual assault. Can you explain these measures?
Yeah, that's Assembly Bill 1079. And some of you may or may not. Obviously, we have quite a few veterans' homes in our states, particularly Union Grove and King. And like a lot of locations, particularly in the medical field and the nursing home space, we need employees. And there's a lot of staff shortages at King and Union Grove. So one of the ideas is, since those are state-owned, those are state employees, and so they need to go through the state civil service system. So what this bill would do is basically bypass some of those requirements. So nursing staffs would still have to graduate from a Wisconsin school, would still have to have all the credentialing and licensing, but they wouldn't have to go through the civil service process, and hopefully would speed that process up to get much needed nurses aides, CNAs, things like that into our nursing home to help with the veterans care. The other aspect, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was wondering on that point, are government VA facilities able to compete with the private sector that can increase pay rates quickly and perhaps be more nimble with their staffing?
Well, and this is one of the things that's interesting you brought that up. The last budget, we actually did go in and did a very specific targeted raises for those folks working in the veterans' home. So we have increased those targeted. Now, could we do more moving forward? Absolutely. This is more for the hiring process on how we try to get more people in the door to work in those facilities.
Should there be like a national staffing standard for these nursing homes and these facilities serving veterans? Do you see that in sight?
Well, obviously, you have the federal VA care.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with DVA and the Department of Veterans of in the Wisconsin, I think our standards as far as what they're requiring right now, I think those are fine. It's just there's a shortage. And if somebody can try to get them in the door with still having the standards, still having, all the credentialing, but not necessarily going through the civil service hiring process, I think that's worth a try to see if we can increase that and boost that staffing level in our veterans' homes.
Would it impact care at all to veterans?
Not that we are aware of. And obviously, I'm a retired military veteran. My mm-hmm. wife's a veteran. And the last thing I would ever do is jeopardize any care for our veterans. So they deserve the best care. And so I do not believe this is going to reduce care for them. Once again, it has to be somebody from a Wisconsin school. They still have to have the exact same credentialing, et cetera. It's just they're not going through the civil service process. Just to try this and see how that works to get much needed staff in those veterans' homes.
Can you explain the other ramifications of this bill?
So the other part of this, due to federal law, for the cemeteries around the country, you can't discriminate based on residency.
Mm-hmm.
So, before somebody to be laid to rest in a Wisconsin veterans cemetery, they had to be a Wisconsin resident. This bill also would say, okay, from now on, you do not have to be a resident. Once again, we're just complying with a federal standard that's coming down that has to take effect, I believe, January of 2025. So we're just complying with the feds on this for our and it's interesting. There is shortages of veteran cemeteries around the country. And so I think this is a way for the feds to try to get more veterans that deserve that burial right into a military cemetery.
And the last piece of it on the Wisconsin Code of Military Justice regarding sexual assault.
So that little piece there, so two summers ago, well, last summer, I was the chair of a study committee on the sexual harassment and sexual complaints that the Wisconsin National Guard had from a study from 2019. And we put a couple bills together this past session. The governor signed those bills. This little tweak was something that there was a drafting error in one of the bills. And all this does is bring back it inadvertently omitted a little statute, and that was never the intent. So this actually just brings that statute back into the state law. So it was an overdraft mistake on the drafting.
Republican Representative Tony Kurtz with us of Waniwak, a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Coming full circle here on taxes, last month the Assembly passed a bill that would allow more veterans and their surviving spouses to claim a veterans tax credit, and you voted in support of this bill. Can you tell us about that?
So right now, currently in the state of Wisconsin, if you have a veteran who's 100% disabled, he or she can get a rebate on their property taxes. The bill that we passed in the Assembly that gave a lot of credit to Representative Edmund, that would bring that threshold down to 70%. So if you had a veteran, he or she, that had a 70% disability, they now could apply to up to, 70% to have a rebate for their property taxes as well. It also, to have a little, to get some compromise, we brought the income as far as the property value down to $350,000. So if your home was $350,000 and below, then up to that part is what property taxes would be exempt for you, and you'd get that rebate. So obviously, you have a million-dollar home, you're not going to get that above the $350,000.
But that would make an impact on these veteran families.
Oh, absolutely. And to your point, I have quite a few friends that are disabled, and the vast majority of them are 100%. I have a few that are 90%. So this is something that would definitely help them make it more affordable.
Representative Kurtz, thank you for joining us.
No, I appreciate you having me on, Kate, and I hope you and all your wonderful listeners have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Republican Representative Tony Kurtz of Waniwak, member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Kurtz is a farmer and a military veteran. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.